Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year or so, I have been examining Li Fu Zhuo, the king's daughters, doing mini biographies of each and every single one of these amazing 700 women. It started off as a personal project just for me and my great-grandmoms, and kind of grew. So to come along with me as I explore a couple of Fu Zhuo every single week. If there's one in particular you'd like me to do, please put her down in the comments below and I'll check and see if she's on the list already. Eventually they're all going to get done. And some I've already done. I'm on number 86, so you might want to have a look at my website, Have Roots Will Travel. I have a section there where I list the ones that I have done with a link to it, so it makes it easy for you to kind of catch up, if you will. And with that being said, I just want to make sure you know I'd love for you to subscribe and also click on the notifications alert so that you get alerted when I post videos, which are about, as I've said, twice a week. Maybe I might be getting to three times a week, depends. So we will continue exploring. Let's get started. So Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, was a program begun by the intendant Jean Talon. I have produced a video called The Program 2.0, in which I really go into the details of how the girls were recruited and how they came across. If this is something that you'd like to know more about, please have a look at that video. It will really give you some insights. Let's get to know who we selected for this episode. So this is a viewer request. What a name, Jeanne Rossignol, dite Rossignol. Very, very big name. I almost didn't have room for it all. She's also the great-grandmother of my best friend's daughter. And so that was an interesting find. So let's get to know Jeanne a little bit better. So Jeanne was born in 1652 in a place called Montfort-l'Amaury. Her parents were Martin Rossignol and René Desjardins. Montfort-l'Amaury is found in the north-central part of France. You can see it on the map, a little red dot. The name of this village comes from its very first seigneur, Amaury I of Montfort. This particular area wasn't always part of France, but in 1294, it was returned when Brittany, you know, declared that it was part of France once more. So the castle that King Bruce built in 900 was actually here in the hills of Montfort. There are remnants of it, but the castle was essentially destroyed by the English during the Hundred Years' War. So this is the area that she would have emerged from. Why did she leave? So as many of the Filles du Roi, she, upon her father's death, she came to Canada at age 18, bringing with her a dowry of about 200 pounds. So the groom that she selected and who selected her, his name is Charles Petit. He was born in 1639 in Anneville-sur-Seine in Normandy, which would become Anneville-Amborville. His parents were Jean Petit and Anne Manger. So we have a picture of the church where he would have been baptized and kind of a spot where he is located. Remember on that slide, she arrived July 30th, 1670. Well, by September 1st, she's getting married. So she gets married, and this is her marriage record to Charles Pritzi. And let's see where they end up. So they end up in Neuville, which means new town. Neuville is a village on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River, just west of Quebec City, and it's part of, now of the Portneuf Regional County Municipality. It was founded in 1684, and it remains truly a picturesque kind of a place. In 1653, the area was granted as a seigneurie by Jean de Lauzon to Jean Bourdon de Saint-Jean for his son, Jean-François Bourdon de Domburg, who was an engineer, a surveyor, a cartographer, and the attorney general to the sovereign. In 1680, the Domburg Seigneury was acquired by Nicolas Dupont de Neuville, and hence the name, but originally Domburg. So if you see the name Domburg, you know that it's Neuville. In 1679, the Saint-François de Sade parish was formed and it became a civil parish in 1684. The place was also known as Pointe aux Trembles, or Pointe aux Trembles, in reference to the point on which the church was built, which was once was covered with aspen and birch, which is what that means, Gamla. And let's see how they evolved. Charles and Jeanne would have two children, Jacques, who married Marie-Charlotte Dubois, but they would not have any children of their own. And then Nicolas, he married Marie-Marguerite Bertrand. They had six children, five of whom made it to adulthood. He then married Marie-Jeanne Sylvestre, and they had two children, one of whom made it to adulthood. So this is an interesting kind of, situation, because she had problems in the neighborhood. And I don't, again, with the hindsight of 300 years, we don't know what happened. But she had issues with her neighbors. And on June 20th, 1673, she and another fille du roi, Suzanne Rousselet, which we'll be profiling at some point, must have had words or some serious stuff, because Jeanne filed a complaint against her. The Prévôté de Québec, after reviewing the information, decided that the two women needed to just chill, not interfere with each other's lives. That very same day, however, another couple, Jacques Sabourin and Maitrine Renault, filed a complaint against Jeanne for slander. Apparently, Jeanne had called Jacques a thief and his wife a prostitute. The judge said, provide proof or else. The else one. And Jeanne had to make a public apology to the couple. So she obviously got herself into situations. Interesting. I love, I don't love the fact she got in trouble, but I love the fact that, she wasn't just a weakling. She wasn't a victim. She was out there. So in the midst of all this, Charles would die between March and December of 1673. We have no death date or death record. We do know that one man dies and another arrives. The next groom would be Jacques Forget. He was born in 1642 in the parish of Saint-Michel in Poitou. I'll give you an idea of where it is. This is a picture of the church where he would have been baptized, and this is the modern day place, which looks amazing. His parents were Mandy and Jeanne Mandy Forget and Jeanne Desseret. And that is kind of what we know about him so far. So the marriage took place February 4th, 1674, her second marriage in Quebec City. And they would have a child named Jean-Baptiste. Jean would marry Thérèse Thibault and have 12 children, eight of whom made it to adulthood. It's possible. I'm curious as to the viewer who requested this, what her lineage is, which one. We'll see. So Jacques would die between October 1675 and November 1676, because on November 7, 1676, Jeanne entered into a contract with a third husband. So Urbain Fouquereau was born in 1653 in a small village of Comtenbois, which was part of the ancient province of Anjou, which is now found in the region of Centre-Val de Loire. This region is renowned for its wine. His parents were Jean Fouquereau and René Bataille. So they were married on December 28, 1676 at Noville. This is a picture of the St. Anne's Chapel that was built in 1679, but the grounds are the same as that where they would have been married. So with husband number three, she would go on to have eight more children. So she, first of all, would have Pierre, and he would die at about 5 years of age. Elizabeth Ursel would marry Pierre Soucy and have 10 children, nine of whom made it to adulthood. Michel would pass away in infancy. André would marry Françoise Aubry and have one child before his untimely death. Madeleine would marry Jacques Réaume and have one child. Guillaume would marry Marianne Rivière and have six children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marianne would marry Antoine Laniel and have seven children, but only three of whom made it to adulthood. And Marie-Hélène would marry Michel Rivet and have eight children, and all of them made it to adulthood. Bay would pass away on the 24th of February, 1700. He was buried that day as well. Again, very sudden death. We don't know You know, he was probably about 48 years of age, so that's the third husband. By, let's see what happens next. One man dies and another arrives. Yep. Her husband number four is François Huard de la Liberté. He was born in 1654 in Saint-Denis in Amboise, Touraine. His parents were Jérôme Huard and Annie Dubois. And he had been married before but had no children. He and Jeanne would not have any children together. Ironically, he and Jeanne's former husband, Jacques, were from the same area, a fair distance in those days. But today it's about an hour away. So I think that's kind of an interesting kind of little tidbit. But this was husband number four. So September 2nd, 1704. So she married waited about 4 years before her fourth marriage. By then she would have accumulated assets. She may have, certainly her children were older. And this may have been, you know, not out of necessity, but rather more out of love, if you will. Jeanne would die on the 22nd of January, 1712, at almost the age of 60, which is a remarkably young age, but look at what she went through in her life. She is buried at the Cimetière Hôtel Dieu du Précieux Saint, and François died 10 years later in 1722, also at the same hospital. Here are some resources for you to continue your search. La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan, which is an association that I belong to. I'm also the membership chairperson. And even before I joined, I was using the website. I think it's phenomenal. As a member, you get access to so much more, for sure. And you get a wonderful certificate as well when you join. The second resource I use is the Filles du Roi Descendants, which I think is an amazing Facebook group and absolutely helps you kind of connect up with people. And then the third site is actually filled with information about the Filles du Roi, the Soldats, and Migration is the name of that website. I put the links in for you to explore. As we conclude episode number 86, she really had a remarkable life. I don't think I've done a Filles du Roi who had four husbands. I might have, but I can't remember one. And she just kept going. And I'm glad at the very end that she had one husband who stayed with her till the end. And she ended up having about 86 descendants in 1729. So fairly in between all, I guess she had children with three husbands. So depending on, I'd love to find out which line your, which father, you know, which husband you descend from. So if you're going to note that, I'd love to find out which one of them is your direct ancestor, because I think that that's fascinating. She also got into some legal issues. I think she was definitely a very strong woman and was out there, you know, fighting all the time. So I think she's a fighter. And for that, we honor her gifts and we thank her for her contributions. And with that, I will bid you adieu and au revoir until I see you on episode number 87.